We've been looking this weekend at one of the most God-glorifying ministries of the Holy Spirit, and that is to make the saints of the living God holy, to sanctify us, to prepare us, to use us, but more importantly and above all things, to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I keep bringing that out because I want you to know that it is possible to be like Jesus. And as we have just really beat on this subject, I keep saying the same thing. For us, in our own strength, it is absolutely impossible. But for God, as we know, all things are possible for Him. In order to be conformed to a divine image like Jesus, you need divine help. It's logical, isn't it? And the Holy Spirit does just that. We saw in our last session that the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit were inseparable from the womb to the tomb, and that if we're going to be Christ-like, we need to be consistently aware of the indwelling Holy Spirit. We need to use the resource that the Lord Jesus Christ left the church in order to have the power to do the things that He has done all throughout the Gospels of Jesus Christ. You know, even His disciples understood how He did what He did. They proclaimed the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that in Acts chapter 10. And in Acts chapter 10, In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That was Peter who opened his mouth in verse 34. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, we begin to see, and we can clearly see there in some of these verses, that the disciples were doing the same thing. They were being empowered by the Holy Spirit, and people, even the naysayers, even the critics, even those in opposition to the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, knew that the disciples were with Jesus Christ. It says, this is, you know, Peter and John, they were taken to explain what kind of miracles is going on here, and how did they heal this particular lame guy. And it says in verse 10, it says, be it known unto you all and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, he was proclaiming this to the critics, and if they killed Christ, he was saying this with the expectancy that he was next. The disciples are no longer running from their destiny to die for their Savior. They were doing it head on. Something changed when the Lord Jesus Christ left. They were no longer hiding in some cave grotto somewhere for fear of the Jews. They were confronting it head on with the truth. What changed? Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant, oh, how wrong they were. They were taught by God, manifested in the flesh. That was their master and Lord. Unlearned? I don't think so. They didn't have the credentials of the theological seminaries of the day. They walked, talked, and learned from God Himself. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them, listen, that they had been with Jesus. Why did they say that? You want to know why? Because there was a resemblance. There was some family resemblance. They started talking like Jesus. They started teaching like Jesus. They started boldly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ like Jesus. And so they knew and they perceived that they were like Jesus. In this particular instance, it is clear that those two were filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, how do I know that? Well, go to Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 10. The Lord said this was going to happen. This was nothing that the Lord Jesus Christ was not going over. He prepped his disciples for this very thing. And it says in Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 16, this is the Lord Jesus. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And when they deliver you up, listen, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour when you shall speak. For it is not you that speaks, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. You know, there's going to be times when you're going to be confronted by someone who not only disagrees with you, but is adamantly opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is adamantly opposed to the Bible that critiques their lifestyle, especially the LGBTQ, X, Y, and Z, and C people. There's a letter for everything these days. But the letter of the Word of God is clear. What's sin and what's not sin. And when we believe what God says, and when we believe that there's right and wrong, and when we believe that we're all sinners that need to be saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He's open to save all, no matter what you are, what you've done, what you believe, but you must repent and come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You must believe the gospel to be saved. You must believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the gospel, and that He rose from the dead according to the Bible, and you shall be saved. Nobody shall be put to shame. That's what the Word of God teaches us in Romans. But you tell that message to some people. Last week, there was an email from my company that said, you have to learn how to use social media in a way that's compliant to this company. Yeah. And they were literally telling us not to post religious content on social media like Facebook and things like that, so that my religious beliefs are not known. And you have to sign the document. I signed the document as Fred Flintstone. And the reason that I did that was because this document is as false as the signature that will sign it. I mean, it's against the law. But this is what people do. This is what you're going to be confronted with. This is what's going to happen. You will be confronted. You will be forced to make a choice. Jesus or the world. And at that time, you gotta be cool. And you gotta pray. And you gotta ask God for the power of the Holy Spirit. That He would give you the word. Because if you get just as contentious and you get just as angry, you're working, what did we say before? The what versus the spirit before? The flesh versus the spirit. And in the flesh, can you please God? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says no, you can't please God in the flesh. And so we need to ask the Spirit, and He will give you the words to say. I cannot tell you how many times God has proven that in my life. You know, sometimes you just choke. You know, you don't know what to say. You know what I mean? You're so surprised that somebody would be so adamantly opposed to the love of God that, you know, you kind of just choke. And so you got to ask the Spirit for help, or you answer incorrectly. Been there, done that too. And, you know, the Spirit has convicted me of that particular sin. So here we are, the disciples acting just like Christ, doing exactly what Christ would do, so much so that the teachers of the day said, I perceive that they've been with Jesus. They must have been with Jesus. They're becoming like Christ. That is what the world needs to see from each and every one of us. So, tonight, we want to discuss what the Holy Spirit is. We know who He is. The Holy Spirit is God. What does He do? What can you bank on the Holy Spirit for as you read the Word of God, as you seek God's help for change in your life? Well, one of the first things that I want to mention is John chapter 14, verse 16. And we'll read a few verses there, but I'll read one at a time so we can explain some of these things. And in chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus said in verse 15, He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That sometimes not so easy, right? But then He says, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. So the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. Some of your versions might say Helper. May I ask you, isn't it the same thing? I mean, when you seriously need help, and help comes your way, is that not a source of comfort? To know that there is help at your disposal anytime you ask for it. Isn't that a source of comfort to your heart and to mine? It is to me. It is to me. So even when things don't seem to work out right and things are going wrong in my life, I have the comfort. The Holy Spirit reminds me that God is in control. He is not surprised by anything that happens in my life or in the life of others. And He is in absolute, total control. There is a comfort that I have now as a believer that I did not have as an unbeliever. As an unbeliever, you want to be a control freak. You want to control anything that goes on in your life. You want to control the circumstances. You want to control what happens, what doesn't happen. And when you lose your job, you freak out and you start looking for other jobs and not praying or doing anything because you're an unbeliever, right? And so you keep getting yourself deeper into different problems. It could be going from one relationship to the other relationship, and one is worse than the other. But when you get saved and things happen, perhaps a spouse goes home to be with the Lord. Perhaps a job is lost. The comfort of knowing that God knows all about it is absolutely immense. I'll tell you a little story that we were telling our hosts this afternoon. Lisa and I, and some of you know this, Lisa and I, when we first got saved, we lost our twin boys. They passed. They were born and they were underdeveloped, and you know, they last a few days and they passed. As a new believer, I mean, I must have been saved, a few months maybe six, I don't remember. What I remember is like, what? How can you do that to me? I mean, wait a minute, I gave up drugs for you. I gave up family functions for you. I gave up ungodly relationships for you. I argued with God, and I didn't want Lisa to see she was in the hospital. I didn't want to let her to see that how I responded. And so I went into my minivan. At that time, it was a Chevy Lumina for you kids. It was a really space cadet type of minivan. It was the worst minivan ever made. And I just went in that minivan and I just started punching that minivan and was angry and arguing with God for like 15 minutes. I did this for you. I did that for you. There were lumps all over my van. And the only thing I really got out of that one was a fistful of hurt. And then I realized who I was talking to. For 45 minutes, I just repented before the Lord. I told Him, I'm going to trust you through this. You're going to take me through this one way or the other. You don't have to make sense of it, Lord. Just take me through. I don't want to go back to drugs, not for anything in the world. Just take me through. Amen. And you know, at that time, Lisa was really struggling with faith and church and relationships and the relationships we gave up for new relationships. When those twin boys left, a little while afterwards, you know, we went home. We were obviously broken. And neighbors would say things like, well, you know, I mean, it might have been for the best. They might have been born retarded or something. And you're like, oh, brother. But, you know, they meant well. I understand what they meant. And so we were just too broken to even be offended or however you want to interpret that. But at that time, we saw the absence of all the friends we left behind. And believers did not stop sending us letters. We would find trays of food and money and all kinds of things. They didn't want us to cook or to worry about anything. They just wanted us to heal. And we got to see the difference between our relationships in the world and your relationships with God. The Holy Spirit did a work in us like we would never have known He could possibly do in such a tragic situation. That is the God that we serve. He knew all about it, and He used it for His glory to wake us up that this is your family now. These are the people that really love you now. I remember Craig and Joy spoke about you, spoke about them before in a previous session. They cracked me up. they said that they went to the supermarket praying that the Holy Spirit would show them what to purchase. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. It's just what they bought. So being that we're Puerto Ricans, you know, I mean, they just brought us a shopping cart full of Goya products. I said the Holy Spirit. Oh, okay. But we were so grateful, you know, they came with their whole heart and their face was so lit up and they were like, this is, you know, we really thought this through, you know. And we never eat Goya products, but, you know, I mean, the beans and stuff we liked, you know. So, I mean, but man, that food tasted so good. And it wasn't the quality of the food. It was the quality of the fellowship and the love that brought it. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. It just... They said they were just filled. They didn't know what to do, but they know they had to do something. And they did something. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. He changes us. And He makes us more like Jesus Christ. And He makes us love His people just like He loved people. There's a comforter who knows. We would have never thought in a million years that God can take a tragedy like this to show us the love of God through His people. Who would think? That's what God does. That's what God does. He's a comforter. Isn't it wonderful to know that there's a comforter at your disposal 24/7, 365. He is the helper. He's also a teacher. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We touched on that a little bit the last time that one of the last sessions that we went through, I believe it was the second one. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Praise God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know. The things, remember, Isaiah 11, spirit of knowledge, wisdom, understanding, all the rest of it, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I don't care how smart and how incredibly, what your IQ is. If you are not indwelt by the Spirit of God, you cannot know the things of God without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible to be able to know. You can read the words on the page. You can't understand the message to your heart. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they don't have the Spirit of God. It's plain and simple. For they are foolishness unto them. Neither can they know them. They cannot know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. There's like, for you techies, there's a firewall. And that spirit just, I don't care how smart you are, but if you are not born again, you cannot pass the English words on the page. You cannot know what it means. You cannot know the heart and the mind of God without the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. Isn't it wonderful? But you don't have to be a TV preacher, a professor at a theological seminary, an author of I don't know how many books, in order to know God and to know His Word. Anybody, even Richard Benitez, could know the Word of God. That's a miracle. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I have the Holy Spirit of the living God. And He reveals things to me. And I'll reveal it to others. That's a joy in my heart to be able to tell people what the Holy Spirit says in His Word. To me, it's just amazing that I could even know what God is thinking. You know, that God would want to share His mind with me. I mean, yes, I'm born again, but I know some of the thoughts that I have in my mind, and so does God. And yet He would still share His Word with me. He would still have His Spirit reveal things to me, some things that are hard, but they're still amazing to make me whole. Isn't it wonderful to know that you have a teacher any given time? Any given time. He's also a reminder of certain teachings. Go to John chapter 14. We'll go to John a few times, so if you want to put your finger there, we'll be there a little bit. John chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus answered, He it is. Oh, sorry, I'm in the wrong. There we go. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Isn't that amazing? Didn't have to have a dictation system when Jesus Christ was teaching. The disciples didn't have to have a good memory. They really didn't. The Holy Spirit would bring to remembrance those things that the Lord Jesus has taught in the times that they needed it the most. I got to tell you, I've seen that in my life so many times. When I'm just thinking along something, or I'm trying to give somebody a word of encouragement, a little bit of counsel, and I'm praying to the Lord. I said, Lord, give me a word, Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will remind me something that the Lord Jesus said to His disciples. And I'm like, wow. Why didn't I think of that? Well, praise God that I didn't, that He did, right? And so He does that from time to time. Sometimes when you're studying the Word of God, and I know many of you have gone through this, you're in a particular verse, and all of a sudden the Spirit brings to remembrance another verse. And you would go to that verse, and the Spirit of God would bring you to remembrance to another verse. And you would go, you spend half an hour doing this, and you realize that you have just had a conversation with God.
Amen.
Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Mm-hmm. I love when that happens, and I hate when it doesn't. Sometimes, you're not in a good place, and silence is like, to me, it's like the worst form of chastisement ever. When I can't hear from God, I'm reading for the sake of reading, and I know that there's something wrong. Man, there's something wrong. And I just got to check myself before I wreck myself. I got to do an introspection of what's going on in my, or not going on in my life. And figure out what seems to be the problem. There's a problem. I'm not hearing. It's not God's problem, right? It's not Him not talking. It's something on my heart. And so, I enjoy the times of remind, the times of reminders. I enjoy the times of teaching. But I know that that's what the Holy Spirit does. And when I can't hear it, I know that there's a problem. I'm making myself deaf to the Spirit. Have I been providing for the flesh? Or have I been providing for the Spirit? Remember Galatians 5:17? Who's winning? Who's winning? I got to check myself. He is an intercessor. Go to Romans chapter 8. An intercessor. And I know that you know that Jesus is an intercessor, right? He has a ministry of intercession, does he not? Yes, he does. Well, so does the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, it says, likewise, the Spirit also help our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes, you know, with that situation that I told you, sometimes you're in some serious desperate pain. You're going through some problem and you don't know what to say. Just recently, in a camp somewhere in Texas, a bunch of children died in a serious rainstorm. How do you comfort somebody like that? That went to a Bible camp. Their kids, staff, died, drowned. What do you say to somebody like that? You need to pray. People like that are in such pain. It's hard for them to hear. It's hard for them to listen. It's hard for them to receive. And the Spirit of God intercedes. He understands the pain. He knows. And he knows the comforting power of God. And so, and if you keep praying, God will give you something. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he comforts others. He uses you to comfort others with the same comfort that God has given you, because he is the God of all comfort. And sometimes it's difficult. You're in a situation like that and you're just praying that they don't ask you for counsel because you hurt for them. You barely understand what it is that you can say to them that would give them some sort of comfort. And so, you know what God said to me when, in not so many words as I read the scriptures and I looked at the many that had died for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that were killed, those that were persecuted in the book of Acts. I remember one morning reading that after our twins died and a question was posed, do you think they would have been better off in this world or with the Lord? Do you think you would have done a better job at raising them? Or they'd be better off with me? How do you argue with that? Absolutely. It doesn't hurt any less. But what a comfort it is to know that absent from the body, present with the Lord for believers. And, there's this debate on children and the age of accountability and all that stuff. I have no problem believing that children goes into the arms of God. None at all.
Amen.
That's definitely what I believe. Here, the Spirit is an intercessor. We need an intercessor. I mean, there's sometimes I honestly don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray for something. But he does. He knows my heart. He knows God's mind. And there's that connection. That's better than AI, man. I mean, it's instantaneous with some instantaneous results. He's an intercessor. He enlightens. I love that word, enlightens. You guys know what that means in the Greek, you students, Bible students? Yeah. Well, you guys went to Messiah, you know that word. Enlighten. Photizo. Photo. It's where we get the word photography. Photo. You know how photography works? Light and an image. The light comes down and it focuses on a particular image. Isn't that something? He enlightens you. He gives you light so that he could produce an image. What image do you think he wants to produce in you? The image of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be conformed to his image, right? He enlightens us. He brings to light those things that we cannot see. Sometimes, you know, I'm at the age where, that's true, I read the menu with my phone. and because I use Zoom, I look at a particular word on the menu, and it's like tiny letters, and so I'm looking at it with my phone, and I'm zooming it up, and isn't it something? You know, I could start seeing the letters, you know, and start spell out the words, and I can read what the menu is. Sometimes you read the Word of God, and you just can't see it, and you need Holy Spirit help for Him to enlighten you, not only to see what the Word of God means, but so that you can hear what God needs to say to you. He enlightens. For what purpose? We saw that in Ephesians chapter 1, didn't we? The purpose was to so He can give you knowledge and wisdom and understanding to know Him. To know Him. To know Jesus. Why? So that you can become more like Him. I think we ran out of time. But He also convicts. We read that in John 16, verses 7 through 15. So make sure that you read those verses, John 16, 7 through 15. So He's a comforter, He's a helper, He's a teacher, He's a reminder of teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's an intercessor, and He enlightens, and He also convicts. Do I have 6 minutes?
No,
15. 15? What? My clock is a little fast, man. Okay. Thank you, brother. Usually people are like, yeah, you're around in time. Let's get out of here.
Until the boy falls out of the
window. Hey, amen, brother.
Falls out of the window, you can't revive him.
John chapter 16. Let's go to John chapter 16. And let's go to verse 7. John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient or advantageous, remember we went through that verse, for you that I go away. Still can't get over that verse, but okay. For if I go not away, the comforter or the helper, right, in some of your versions, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world or convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Isn't that something? And Lord Jesus Christ, I have a few more things to teach you, but you won't be able to handle it right this moment. Okay? You won't get it. You won't be able to bear them right now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Isn't it nice? The Holy Spirit is also a guide in your journey in the Word of God. That is super important. Because if you look at the scriptures, and I mean, just read the book of Numbers, and it can get a little confusing and convoluted. If, you know, once you start reading all those numbers, but when you see the image that all those numbers give, sometimes it really helps. And the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, He guides. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and I will show it unto you. And all things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take, the Spirit shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. The Spirit is not only a guide, He's not only a teacher, He convicts us of sin, He shows us the things that Christ has prepared for Him to show us. And you can see that the Holy Spirit, He speaks, but He won't speak of Himself. He speaks of the Lord Jesus. And He wants to glorify the Lord Jesus. He wants you to glorify the Lord Jesus. You see how important it is for the Holy Spirit to conform you to His image, because it's all about Jesus Christ. That is what God the Father wants the world to see in you and in me, the church that He has left behind. Now, the other thing that the Holy Spirit is, and I didn't really put it in my notes here, is a restrainer, right? He's a restrainer. Right now, as chaotic as you see the world, it's going to get worse one day when the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way. And when he's, and I'm not an eschatological buff, but I know this much. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write to you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Let us of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation." And here we see that the Holy Spirit will be taken out of the way. It's in this chapter somewhere. If not, somebody can tell me where it is. That'd be great. Where he that restrains will be taken out of the way. And when he's taken out of the way, there be no conscience. There'll be no restraining. Somebody can shoot you in the head and everybody will just keep walking around you like if nothing ever happened. I mean, it'll be something, in my imagination, something as nutty and crazy as that. I mean, if you think that this world is horrific, now, when the restrainer is taken out of the way, there's going to be nothing, nothing for people to do whatever is right in their own eyes. It seems like that's happening now, but you can think about what's happening now and multiply it, but I don't know how much. And you will see that if it wasn't for the Spirit just holding things together for now, it would be a whole lot worse for you, and it would be a whole lot worse for me as lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's going to come a time where those that proclaim the name of Jesus will be persecuted. You might as well start equipping yourself with the knowledge and the resource that you have, the Holy Spirit of the living God. And when that time comes, if it comes during our time, I don't know. It could come today, it could come tomorrow, it could come 1,000 years from now, I don't know when. But when that time comes, you've already prepared yourself by constantly availing yourself with the resource of the Holy Spirit, being made like Christ. You will be ready to die for your faith. You know, I mean, I've heard a lot of people say they'll die for their faith, you know, just, you know, hope it happens a particular way. It's not too hurtful, not too painful. You won't be worrying about any stuff like that when that time comes. You'll just know, and you'll just deal with it when it comes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you and just thank you so much, Lord God, that you have left us a comforter, a helper, a teacher, a reminder of teachings, an intercessor, somebody that when we just, Lord, when we don't have the words, there you are helping us through, asking God for help and interceding for us, that you enlighten, that you convict, and Lord, you even restrain, for the time will come when the restrainer will be taken out of the way, and it's just not going to be pretty. Pray that you would prepare us, Lord. Help us, Lord God, and fill us with your Spirit, that we would preach the gospel boldly, that we would share with our friends, with our family, as much as we possibly can, knowing that the day approaches quickly. We look at the world, as we look at the condition of Israel, as we look at the things around us in this world. I know that many of preachers have said that before, but Lord, we should be expectant that this is going to happen any day now. Take one more soul. Just one more soul. Use us, Lord, even today. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. The portion you were looking for is 2 Thessalonians.
2 Thessalonians
2, 6 to 12.
Thank you, brother. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. A lot of teachers believe that that is the Holy Spirit of God, and that it'll be taken out of the way, and all chaos will begin like we've never seen it before. Nothing will really make sense. But praise the Lord, we have a comforter and a helper, and he's here.
Where is that, Earl?
2 Thessalonians.
2.
Chapter 2, 6 to 12.
Thanks, Earl.
Thank you.